it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You listen to me. It's that you're. We got witnesses here. We got a lot of witnesses. If you here's the deal. If I get another job, and you pass an IQ test at 143,
God, it's
I will hire you.
He cannot be that guy.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru. Dude. On 95.7 The Game.
You ever take that test?
I just talked to Bob, too. We were texting back and forth, but I'm this close to being out of the Bay. Like, if he
quit trying to cheer me up.
Well, you said you're done soon. But anyway, Steiny, Evan, I might be out of here.
Well, I'm older than you, so.
What's that mean?
It means I've worked for longer than you.
Do you call this work?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? I woke up today and was like, oh, God, I'd love to have the day off.
You are.
It was all rainy and cold.
Are you serious?
I wanted to stay under the covers. Hell yeah. But we had to talk about Kuminga's ejection.
Dude, they didn't show it. Of course he gets ran and we can't watch it. But, man, the Portland people tried to show it. No video.
We're talking about the Warriors' expectations for this season. Their regular season starts in 6 days. And
dude, that's incredible.
It really is. It really is.
Skinny Luka. I don't like it.
Fat.
Ask me why I don't like it.
I'm not going to ask you why you don't like it because all summer long you've liked it.
Oh, no.
Yes, you have.
Evan will back me up.
You've been like, Luka.
No, he
had
that.
Did you see Luka? Did you see Luka?
The dude averaged more minutes when they went to the finals. A couple years ago, Western Conference Finals, Donnie, and Finals, he was playing, man, against Boston. He averaged more. He lost weight because of pressure. My point is, this girth, he knew how to use it. I want to see Luka give guys the business and bully ball down low in the paint on the block like he used to. Okay, health is wealth. I get it. He's skinnier. But I'm watching with a keen eye, Donnie, to say, did you lose something with that girth? That's all.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you lose something with that girth?
Now, I have a lot of power to my girth. So, you know what? I didn't like the question.
I know.
That's a great question.
I didn't like it. No, anyway, no. Back to Wiggins. And we got a provocative topic tomorrow, right? That came out of the Jake Moody, what he did Monday night.
I actually, during the break, said I kind of like this one. What former players do you root for and do you not?
And I thought of Kevin Durant.
And the reason we did is because, I don't know if you know this, but a former Giant spun a gem.
He did.
Okay. Do we want to do this today
we're
or
teasing.
Tomorrow?
No, we're teasing. We decided to tease it.
Well, don't give everyone your answers.
Well, no, we got so many.
I don't know if I don't like Evan right now. But I get you. I'm blurred.
Well, a lot of times we say we're going to do something tomorrow, and then we just do it in the moment. Hey,
no, you're
Evan,
right.
We needed that. Right. We'll get to it.
Anyway, you know, we're going to talk about how, let's say, Giants fans just, they were rooting for Blake Snell, for example.
A lot were not. Right. Okay, yeah.
Okay, all let's right, go. We're back to the Warriors. Yeah. And once again.
The Niners.
Kyle Shanahan's going to talk to the media at some point. It's supposed to be 12:40. He's not there yet. When he gets there, we'll let you know what he said. In the meantime, let's go to Steve in the Bay. What's up, Steve? How you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you guys?
All right.
Thank you.
Well, I heard you guys talking about Kuminga. Yeah. He is fool's gold. So much of an underachiever. I think he used his so-called leverage to sign that contract, and he has not produced. Again, very disappointing.
Well, he's only had extremely a couple preseason games. Or are you just saying the whole experience has been?
I don't see what he practiced on. I watched the game the other day.
Wow.
I mean, he
was
mediocre. So mediocre.
Thanks, Steve.
Wow. Like, you said you're older than me.
I'm not doing this.
But I'm going foul ball in baseball. Is that fair, a call like that? to say I watched him the other night in a preseason game. Like, just say it on the mic, Stat. That's not fair. Now, game 8 or 9, okay, but to say you watched a preseason game and he didn't work on anything, I got to put my foot down and say, I don't think that's fair, Stoney. Come on.
Yeah, like, I don't want to talk about Kuminga anymore.
Yeah.
I really don't. We got to talk about guys who are probably going to impact things more, like Jimmy Butler.
Seth Curry. We're not, I just hate this. What is it? I keep asking you, Exhibit A or something.
You're really excited about Seth Curry.
No, I am. I'm thinking about if, now why do you say it like that?
Because here's the thing. You're excited about Pods. Kuminga for sure. Moody, big breakout coming.
No, you're,
Post, you're very excited about. Seth Curry, they're not all playing. They ain't all playing.
Seth Curry's going to play more than Malcolm Brogdon.
Who'd he pick? He get picked up by?
Well, he just retired.
Did he?
Yeah, he got signed to the Knicks and then literally moments ago just announced his retirement.
I remember he was news.
You know what? You know who wanted him, don't you? The big GM, Steph Curry and Draymond Green. You know they were like, let's get Brogdon in here.
But back when he had some.
Yeah, 7 years ago. He must have gotten to camp and been like, holy cow.
No doubt. Andre Miller, like it's a wrap.
Yeah, so.
But just say it out loud. That was fair about that. That was kind of unfair about Kuminga.
What exactly did he say?
I watched him the other night. He ain't worked on nothing. I'm like, come on, man. Give us the regular season before you do that.
I'm not. I haven't been crazy about his preseason, but it doesn't really matter.
Well.
But that's just me.
It's a lack of grit.
Yeah. I'll just die on this hill, Steiny. I see some guys that have had it in my life on a hoop court, pro, regular street. I see some guys that didn't have it. Kuminga has a lot of stuff going for him if he can get in the right situation. And maybe this is his Baker Mayfield. And
this is where, you know.
Where it failed, you know.
And this is where, you know, your meaning of he does a lot of stuff. I think he's pretty one-dimensional.
He was in the post the other night, Stoney. He did a spin move and finished with the left. And I said, he could probably do that 12 more times in a row and they couldn't stop it. Like, that's just.
But he couldn't. And they would have stopped it. Probably.
I do wonder about his footwork. I'm a big footwork guy.
Yeah.
And you can say what you want about Pods. He's mastered it. But I'm like, JK, let me see that footwork. I mean, ones know how to do. Kawhi had it, Paul George. But
how about this? We're going to see if Pajemski's mastered it.
Now, that's explain
that. I think he's going to get called for more walks this year with that move he makes. And he's got to lose that hesitation now when he goes slow motion.
Remember,
he just gets swallowed up. Pods. Well, the funny thing is I didn't see his good game the other night because it wasn't on TV. Right. But he clearly played well a couple nights ago.
No Curry, and he was gunning.
Yeah, let's go to Frank's in Atlanta. Hey, Frank.
This is our man, Frank.
What's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on,
you guys? Here, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. My expectations for the Dubs this year, if our offense morphs, we could get to 50 games, but if we don't change our game a little bit to incorporate a little more drive and kick and attacking the basket, we're going to end up right where we were. Because, okay, now we have a low post, mid post, and high post option with Jimmy. And with Jimmy, he's going to get the ball to the basket. But a lot of what he's going to do is he's going to open up the inside-out pass. Now, the inside-out pass creates three-point shots. But what it also does is it creates drive ability. It creates straight-line drive. And that's where the Golden State Warriors have to morph to. It has to be – we have to be able to – use the pass to Jimmy as the initiate of the offense. When Jimmy goes to the basket and the guy from the dunker spot comes to help Jimmy. That has to create the third man on the defense coming to help that play. When you do that, when Jimmy passes the ball out, that guy has to make a choice. Either take a three-point shot or drive to the basket. Oklahoma City won a championship turning down that three-point jump shot and driving to the hoop and creating drive and kick. The Warriors could win 60 games almost turning down that three-point shot and driving to the hoop, because the one person who the defense can't leave is Steph Curry.
Nope.
So that man who catches the inside-out pass, there'll never be a help man to cut him off from driving to the hoop. So now we can get
Frank,
to 55,
Frank
60
it down,
points a
boy.
Game.
Frank, you break it down better than no other. Frank, that was nice to be a start. Oh, he could have kept going. Oh, man. He breaks it down, man.
I kind of know what he's saying. When Butler
Frank,
kicks it out,
oh, man, he was
you need a guy who
down.
Can either make a three or get it into the lane, and that's the straight line drive.
I know we're getting ready to go to Kyle, but did you know Jimmy drove and kicked as much as he did? Because I'm starting to not like it a little bit sometimes. Or you think he's just getting older?
Well, I think
it's harder.
I think like a lot of guys, he's starting to get, you know, stat hungry, and I think he wants to lead the league in pump fakes. All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Let's head down to Santa Clara and take a listen to Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the Niners.
What's up, guys? All right, injuries for today. We got Yetur knee, hamstring will be out. Ricky knee will be out. Sky Moore ankle will be out. Trent Williams vet day. Christian vet day. Jordan Watkins calf limited. Brock Purdy toe limited. Mac Jones knee oblique limited. Pooney knee limited. Kevin Givens pec limited. Juwan Jennings ankle rib shoulder limited. Renardo Green neck limited. C.J. West thumb limited. George Kittle hamstring limited. Clea Davis hand limited. Mykal Williams thumb. Oh wait, those guys are full. Go ahead.
Has Ricky's knee turned out to be more problematic than anticipated?
I mean, we hoped it would go faster, but it's a thing that's normal and just taken. It's not going faster than expected, but he's better this week than last week, and hopefully it continues.
And as far as Fred Warner's surgery, did that go as expected? And then follow-up question. You'd said 3 months, people do the math and come up with, you know, mid-January and think, oh, is playoffs a possibility if the 49ers make the playoffs?
You distracted me now. What were the other two questions before that one?
How did the surgery go?
The surgery went good. just talking to everyone, they said it went great. I just threw out there 3 months, but we haven't thought about that yet. I mean, we haven't just had surgery yesterday, so we'll see how that goes, but not thinking about that right now.
What kind of boost does George give you coming back and also in the running game especially?
I mean, just having another good blocker always helps. I thought the other tight ends have blocked well, though, and just having him back in the pass game, I think, is huge. Just have an explosive athlete out there who can run away from people, and but both, just having him on the field on every offensive play helps.
In the interior offensive line, how much was it your guys struggling? How much of it was Vita Vea just wrecking a lot of things?
I mean, I think it's a little both. Vita's a real good player, so you know he's going to have some of his. I thought there was a number that we could have done better on, but it wasn't as simple as one answer, a little bit of both.
What's been your assessment of Kendrick Bourne? He's obviously put up some big numbers, but then there's been some pre-snap stuff, some blocking questions. Overall, where do you assess his play? Has it gotten better since he got here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for someone just to hop in here week two and get thrown into a starting role by week four, you know, I think I'm appreciative that we've been able to have Bourne here. He's helped us out a lot. By no means is it perfect like anybody, but he's getting better each week at catching up with the offense and stuff like that. And I feel we've been fortunate to have him, though.
He was a rookie, like a lot of rookies. I mean, there were issues with, you know, being on time and everything. I mean, he's a 30-year-old man now. I mean, can you like kind of discuss the ways in which he's matured?
Yeah, he's unbelievable now. I think he's like one of the more adults in the building, which I don't think I would have ever said that 6 years ago. But you know, KB was late like his first few weeks, and then he corrected that before his rookie year ended. I mean, he got really consistent with being on time after he started out a little bit bad. But by the time KB left here, I thought he was extremely mature and come a long way in his 4 years, I believe, he had with us. And then just now seeing him 4 or 5 years later, 6 years later, whatever it's been, he's a grown-up. Speaks like he went to Ivy League now. Got a very good, strong foundation in his faith, and love having him in the building, always have. And it's just a good now, if not better.
How's Brock handled being out these four games and just having to, I guess, live vicariously through the film and watch more than he ever has since he got a starter?
Man, you can ask him to know for sure, but I'm sure like a lot of players, you know, it sucks to be such a big part of it and something that you work for a year round and then not to be able to do much because of injuries. So I know injuries frustrate people, but Brock's handling it right like he does everything. But I know he's itching to get back and feel good again.
Mac is more limited than Brock right now, or are they sort of the same?
No, Brock's more limited than Mac.
Question for George Kittle that was just asked by Cam about Brock Purdy. How's George Kittle kind of been handling having to be off the floor, off the field, I should say, but then also now that he's inching his way back in, what is he saying to you guys? Like, what's the vibe with him?
Today it's been good. Just had a good meeting, had a good walkthrough, and he's ready for practice today. So, I mean, I think same answer. I mean, when guys are out, I mean, George loves playing football and he works all year round for it. So when they're not able to do that, it's frustrating for them. Had a big hamstring pull, which there's a lot of different degrees of it. His was a big one. He's rehabbed so hard to get back, and I know he's excited to get back.
I was looking at Atlanta's numbers. They have 14 sacks, but it's from like 10 different guys. What do you see when you watch their defense?
I see a bunch of good guys. They're all very active. They're young. They play with an extremely good motor. Every one of them has the ability to rush the quarterback. I think their scheme and just how they coach them, their effort and everything is very good. They're playing the right way and they're talented.
All right, that was Kyle Shanahan addressing the media before practice. 49ers are going to go or practicing after the media availability. And I think it took a few questions, but I think we got the big answer from Grant Cohn, or we got the right kind of question. Sometimes it's the succinct question that makes you answer. And he said, who's more limited? And he said, Brock is more limited than Mac.
No doubt.
So
now
that,
I
to me,
Mac
means
to play.
Looks like it's going to be Mac Jones.
And again, I don't know what's longer, Frank from Atlanta's explanation on the Warriors offense or Shanahan reading who's not available or nursing something. And I guess, Donnie, the real ones that tell me, right, the ones that have played the game, Lowe and Baldy and all that, everybody's got a list. But, man, he just kept going. But it's crazy to think the severity of George Kittle's hamstring, one that kept him out 5 games, Donnie. Here we go. He's back. But then he's back and, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you're missing Warner and Bosa. But
I may ask Evan to jump in because there were so many of them. But Brock Purdy and Mac Jones were both limited. But Shanahan said Brock is more limited than Mac Jones right now. Ricky Pearsall is out for practice today. Jordan Watkins is limited. Who else? Ricky Pearsall, I just said, is out. Go ahead, Evan. I'm struggling to keep track. Jennings. Limited. Juwan Jennings was limited.
With a shoulder.
Kittle was limited, although he is back at practice for the first week.
Yeah, I mean, the big one is Purdy and Kittle will both return as limited participants, but obviously it sounds like Kittle has a much better chance to play on Sunday night than Purdy.
Yeah. And even the fact that Shanahan addressed what he hopes Kittle will bring seems to give you hope that he's going to play against the Falcons.
And I'll say this, Donnie, we'll get more into it later in the week, but I mean, if you watched that Monday night game, I didn't know the Falcons could get after the quarterback like they did, and they got after a mobile Josh Allen, and we just heard Larry's talk about they got 14 sacks from 10 different players. I'm just saying, Stoney, it looks like it's going to be Mac Jones, but you don't want a repeat of what happened in Tampa Bay where they were able to get to Mac Jones 6 times. I mean, Atlanta, you think, okay, Atlanta, but, man, they can hunt the quarterback, and they were hunting Josh Allen, man.
You know, I leave the betting pretty much to you guys who are the experts, you, Dibs, Willard,
Evan, Carter.
Evan Carter, for sure. I don't know if the morning...
not too much.
Morning group bets
don't
that
play the
much.
Ponies. Yeah.
But let me tell you who I wouldn't bet on this team Sunday at gunpoint. The Atlanta Falcons.
Right, I can't wait to hear why. The 3-2 Atlanta Falcons. Yeah.
Right. And who have they just beaten?
Oh, Buffalo.
Who have they beat before that?
I can't remember.
Somebody good.
Tampa Bay? No.
No, it was somebody pretty good, though. I forget.
But not on Buffalo.
Evan, we
level.
Talked about it this morning.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah, no.
Damn, was it the Chargers?
They lost to Tampa Bay. No, they beat, oh, gosh.
Somebody good.
Seahawks.
No, it wasn't the Seahawks.
I brought up Tim. Yeah, go ahead.
It wasn't the Lions.
But for you to get there, hold on, man.
Anyway, they've won two really
the Commanders.
Commanders.
They beat Washington.
So they've had two solid wins, okay. And now they're on a short week.
So you think they peaked out a little bit
damn
coming here?
I know it's every year's different, but they're still the Falcons.
But now they could be looking at this like we got the stage, the national stage.
They were on the national stage Monday.
And they won.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. But if you put together another
they
one.
Can't.
For, oh, okay.
That's
gotcha.
What I'm saying.
All right.
But if they can't,
Stoney, they'd be 4-2. And now you're like, man, we just beat San Francisco. And we didn't let up like a lot of people.
Well, they're
going to
let up. Mm. That's the other thing. They think they're good now.
But Bijan Robinson, Stoney, he's a beast, man. I don't got to tell you.
Yeah, well, he's going to run into a ticked off D winners.
81 yard run.
He's going to run into a lot of limiteds.
Man, how do you even have a functional practice with?
Yeah, I don't think you do.
God, like Kittle's coming back. Where's everybody at?
The full list of
okay,
DNPs.
Here we go.
Yetur Gross-Matos, Ricky Pearsall, Sky Moore, McCaffrey Williams are on rest days, veteran days, and then limited Purdy, Mack, Kittle, Watkins, Pooney, Jennings, Renardo Green, CJ West, and Kalia Davis.
Hey, you know what? I might bet on the Falcons.
Evan, I got a quick question because I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, but Pearsall is the one that's just sticking with me. What's ailing him?
I think the knee.
Steiny, he came to camp and he had, a hamstring. And yep. I was like, you remember we were having fun. You're too young to be in the, I get it. But now I just keep hearing Herm Edwards, his coach at Arizona State, in my head about, and I guess what's crazy about it is even when he made the big catch against, who was that, where they, Arizona, he caught that big catch on the sideline. It's like, yeah, euphoria, and then I go down. You know what I mean? It's like, man, he's missed a couple games.
Well, you're
threatening to miss another one.
Yeah, it looks like he may. You're an expert on the knee. How do you think they should go about this process?
Oh, no, this might
be. Well,
please.
What do you mean?
I don't run across the middle and get popped and hit like this dude.
Oh, so it's hard for you to evaluate when receivers should come back?
I just think it's scary that we didn't see, a collision for him to go down. This is kind of just went, what I mean? Like, I can go and then I can go.
Speaking of collisions, did you see what happened?
Evan and I talked about this. I know where you're going.
Go ahead, because I forget the guy's name.
Richardson from the Colts.
No. It's a former 49er. Now I can't remember. This is where the text line's great.
Oh, yeah. Sunday. He ran into his...
It's a former Niner. He ran into an assistant coach.
And
he got a concussion.
Yeah.
And then he didn't end up...
Oh, Charvarius Ward.
Mooney. Yeah. Mooney Ward. I said it was...
That's crazy, isn't it? Evan and I were talking about that Monday. And then what about Richardson from the Colts, the quarterback?
I'm not aware of
what's... He has an orbital bone fracture from a football hitting him without the helmet in the eye.
Yeah, I can't see it. You get it? All right, never mind.
I was like, what's he talking about?
Exactly. Okay. All right. One more segment. And we are, let me tell you something, we're coming back with...
Heat rocks.
With fire. Head on over to YouTube, right? Oops, wrong one. Hey, what's coming up on the game is always brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. And don't forget, this Sunday night, the kickoff show with Lo Neal and Evan Giddings is going to be live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale. It starts at 3 o'clock. They have all the early games on, and the beer garden will be open with a DJ and bartender serving Gold Bar whiskey specials. If you're going to the game, you can sign up for the free shuttle, park at Laughing Monk, take it to the game, take it back to Laughing Monk, get out of town. First come, first served. Go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com, and sign up right now.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we're all going through something. This is football.
Oh, yeah.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Kyle Shanahan just spoke to the media before practice today. 49ers have a ton of guys who are limited. I'll tell you the most important stuff. Both Brock Purdy and Mac Jones were limited, but Brock was more limited, according to Kyle Shanahan. Ricky Pearsall's out for practice today. So he's a looking a little iffy at best. Juwan Jennings was limited. So we'll have to let a couple more days play out before we figure out who's going to be on that field down in Santa Clara on Sunday against the Falcons, Goo.
Yeah, but it really – Grant asked a million-dollar question, Grant Cohn, that is, and basically, Sonny, it looks like Mac is less injured than Brock. So, man, I'm at this point, I'm just wondering, when do we see Brock again?
I think it's going to be next week.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think it, the result of Sunday's game is not going to matter. I think Brock's going to quarterback regardless. Just feels that way.
I got you.
But who knows? I mean, really. Mark Schlereth was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday because one of the things we were talking about is with the Warner injury and with the Bosa injury. Do you need to go out and make a move to even remain competitive, or do you kind of sit tight and maybe see how the next few games go? This is what Mark Schlereth had to say on where the Niners are right now in terms of doing something at the deadline.
I would say that I probably wouldn't want to give a ton of draft capital away. You know, this was one of those that, hey, you started that rebuilding process last year, young receivers, young defensive backs, some young players. You've had some injuries again this year. And, you know, you're sitting at 4-2 and you've done it with a kind of skeleton crew to this point. And so I don't know that you want to give a lot of draft capital away. I would say that you kind of stay the course. You see if you can get healthy. Listen, man, the rest of the league is pretty meager as well. And I think Kyle Shanahan's a hell of a coach. I think he puts his players in a lot of really good positions to win. And you've been doing it with a backup quarterback. You're sitting at 4-2, bunch of backup wide receivers. You know, I mean, it's impressive what you've done so far. And let's, like, there is nobody that's running away with this thing. I don't think the Rams are going to run away with the division. I don't think the Seahawks are going to run away with the division. So would I be willing to give up all my draft capital? Probably not.
That was Mark Schlereth, conversation we had yesterday. But I want to spin it this way as it relates to Kyle Shanahan. Now, obviously, in sports, there's guys that fans like and guys fans don't like. We know that Kyle Shanahan has some of his some detractors out here, but I want to just concentrate on the first six games of this season and kind of just get the pulse. If you're not crazy about Kyle Shanahan, are you still able to look at this year and be like, but he is doing he's done a real nice job with this particular first six games with all the curveballs he's been thrown? Or is there someone out there, are there fans out there that actually look at Shanahan and say, you know what, we should even be in a better spot?
Stoney, I think we'd have to go to Timbuktu to find that person because they shouldn't exist.
I guess what I'm asking you, Goo, is this. If whatever Kyle Shanahan's so-called weaknesses are and some of his flaws that the fan base thinks he has. Okay. Has he lessened them this year?
No.
Or has he lessened the flaws that he has? In other words, whatever, his decision-making, all that kind of stuff, his play calling, like,
okay,
how could you say, yeah, he's still, I still don't like, yeah, Shanahan, nah.
Okay, you tell me if I'm being unfair. To the first part of that, the part of him just being a coach and putting his team and guys, and I'm going offense and defense in positions to win. Stani, that has grown. It's as high as the sky. I got this. Might be through six games one of the best coaching jobs ever in the NFL with the amount of injuries. Just keep it through that prism, okay? Now, I still am watching and waiting to see in high leverage situations, and Tampa Bay lightweight qualifies on maybe taking that three and then letting your defense try to get a fumble or what have you, or even stop them and come back and win the game. But I still, in high leverage situations, when something's working, Kyle's so brilliant, and a lot of smart guys, and it goes to that Keyshawn stuff, you want to prove that you're the smartest guy in the room, I still, that's out there for me. But you could say, well, Guru, they're winning close games. Yeah, they're winning close games and plays, and players are making plays. But that's still, I'm keeping it real with myself, Steiny. That's still out there for me. But as far as galvanizing, next man up mentality, and putting your guys in positions to win like a Kendrick Bourne, like Ricky Pearsall, like Mac Jones, I got to put some major respect on Kyle's coaching.
Is he doing a better job than Todd Bowles?
Now, here I go.
They've been hurt.
Yeah, but they've been with Baker the whole way.
Okay.
But well, we've had I would have to see a list of what and who they're missing. But there you go.
Well, they have as many receiver issues as the 49ers.
I'm still going to say they're
missing,
Kyle.
And they're missing their best running back.
I'm just going to say, and I got you. I'm going to say, Kyle, because you lost your quarterback after game one and you lost your tight end after game one.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, in fairness, Warner played five of the first six games. Bosa obviously got hurt early in the year. I'm just wondering, you know, if is there a fair criticism of Kyle this year?
And what would that be?
That's what I'm trying to think.
Okay. Because I don't have any, man. I really, truly don't.
I mean,
rushing Brock back too quickly?
Now, Evan, that's a great one because I got to ask you this to that. What if he just took the word of his quarterback, and before you answer, what if however many weeks go by, let's just say it's this next Sunday after Atlanta, what if that's what he goes on again is your word on you telling me if you think you're able to go and you go out there and wet the bed, can we really truly blame Kyle if that's what it's truly going to be outside of an x-ray telling us how good he is?
Well, I'm assuming he went on the word of his medical staff. I don't know if he let Brock make that decision, but clearly it wasn't the right one. I mean, he got hurt and has missed multiple games after re-aggravating it, and he played horribly in the game he played. So I don't think there's a lot you can criticize Shanahan for this season, but if there's one thing, it would be like he rushed his quarterback too soon. They might have won that game.
Interesting.
And I love it. I just can't go there, Stani. Evan's right. It could be the medical and, hey, Brock, can you go?
I mean, yeah, I find it hard to believe that if Brock Purdy says, I'm ready to go, they say, okay. Here's what I was thinking about the other day, or not the other day, just as it relates to Purdy and when he's coming back. All right, so we always talk about if it were a playoff game, right, he might play. Steph Curry last year gets hurt in the Minnesota series, right? And the series ends up going five. But there's talk as though if it had gone six, he might have come back, right? Is it?
No, go ahead.
So
a player's name came to mind to me when you brought this up.
What was the discerning factor? I'm going to assume the games were 2 days apart. What if they were three? Like, who would make that decision that, no, we can't have you play tonight in game five, but boy, 2 days later, you're going to be able to play.
Well,
because that's, I think, where we're at with Purdy in a way.
But I believe the ages matter. And I believe with Steph Curry, the franchise, he's everything, Stani. They thought about the future. And with Brock Purdy, again, this is turf toe, and his age may have nothing to do with it. But the reason I bring the age up is you think, okay, maybe it's healing faster. But to that point, to Evan's point, I believe the medicals are part of it, but when you're dealing with delicate injuries or things you really can't see on an x-ray to say, okay, you're ready to go, Stani, why do I feel like I'm in a world of what the athlete says carries more weight than the medical, because the medical is going to ask you, if we can't x-ray it and tell you mathematically or scientifically where it's at, how do you feel? And I got to believe Curry was like, I'm a little ginger, but I can go. But to that, and you didn't ask about this, Aaron Gordon in the playoffs had a hammy and played the next game.
See, this is,
and I thought about, I just, again, they're built different. They're young, one's younger. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, Steiny, but I believe the players, I think I can go, coach or boss, has a lot to do with it.
I think you're wrong. But I think every situation's different. For example, I can imagine Steph, they were not going to let Steph play in game five.
Even you don't believe if he said...
No, I don't. If Steph said, I'm ready, I want to go.
What makes you believe that? Because they would have held him out?
Because he's too important.
So, to your point, what do you think happened two or three days down the road to where, okay,
I don't know.
If we extend the series, just how Steph feels?
Well, clearly, whatever he had done up until game five, Celebrini and the Warriors are saying he is not ready game five. No way, no how. Now, after game five, we got a day. I don't know if it were two. I can't remember if it was 2 days
off.
But
if we win and now he gets a day or two off, it's a whole new ball. Like, then what is it?
My bottom line is that I don't think Steph was going to play in game five.
Oh, wow.
No matter what he said. That's what I think. I don't know. I mean, this is all kind of conjecture.
Well, how do we believe Brock would, Evan was very clear, and, you know, he says that's on the coach, bring them back too early. But what do you think the Niners staff could have did with this injury to know if it was too early? But say, Brock, are you able to go? I believe Brock told him, I felt good. Obviously, it was the wrong thing to do, but Brock saying, I think I'm good enough to go.
But it's not about what they're saying. It's about how they're practicing up until that game.
But it had to be good enough for him to go out there and play against Jack. I'm talking
apparently,
about Curry.
And I'm talking about Curry. It wasn't, I think, for Curry. That's right. 650 saying there were 3 days off after that game five. It would have been, I think he might be right.
72
Because the
hours.
Warriors had gone through a stretch where they were playing like every other game for about three
weeks.
And
that
weeks,
didn't help them
like.
Either, yeah.
So in other words, I got to believe that maybe if they look back at how Purdy was practicing before the Jacksonville game, maybe they would have said, you know what? He's not quite good enough. He's not mobile enough. Yeah. Like there's got to be things they put the player through to make sure that they can do the bare minimum, at least if not more than that. That's kind of the way I look at it. Yeah, they had a 3-day break because of the Valkyries. Forgot about that. So, Steph, nobody's saying Steph was ducking anything.
Who said that?
Steph wasn't ducking anything. Of course he wasn't. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. Come
I'm
on
just
now.
Saying he not only wasn't ducking anything, I don't think he could have done anything to get onto the court for game five because they weren't going to let him.
Some could say the series. You know, he won't
and
know.
You know what? He might not have played game six.
Yeah.
If push really came to shove. Anyway, but
to hear Kyle say, because we saw Kittle come up lame that first game and then he had the hat on. I'm like, okay, this is a nothing burger. He'll be back. But for Kyle to say he had a severe hamstring pull or strain, Steiny, now you're watching him hoping he doesn't re-aggravate it, you know? You gave it ample time, you think. And you go out here and hopefully doesn't reoccur.
Somebody's saying on the YouTube chat, Zeb Bates, go look at the Steph interview when he was talking about it. He was 100% ready. For what?
Oh, that,
game
okay.
six?
Yeah, that was the next one because you staved off elimination.
But here's the other thing. Game six was 3 days from game five. So how do we know he was going to be 100% for a game 3 days in advance? I just don't think there was any way they were going to let
Giants for life in the chat go, slow day, why are we even talking about this?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're talking about it because it's the only thing right now that's of merit and importance about the Niners. Who's going to play?
Man.
Who's playing?
It don't sound like Ricky and Birdie are, man.
Exactly. So
again. You know,
and because the 49ers are so injury-plagued and have been, the natural conversation is, are guys coming back when they should? Are they coming back too soon? Or what's going on? And that's all we're asking. Mark, let me ask you this. The Juwan Jennings situation, scale of 1 to 10. 1 being not much, 10 being a lot. What do you think's going on with Juwan Jennings, and how would you classify it?
Okay, can I give a reason as to why I got to my answer? Course. It normally on the Goose scale would be a 9.5, but now you got a competent guy in Kendrick Bourne that's come here and obviously doing more than you've ever done. I think it's a 5 now. I don't think it's makes anything. Sense. And the reason is, from a production standpoint, it's what have you done for me lately? And Kendrick Bourne has almost made you forget about Juwan Jennings. That's not what I'm trying to say is a good thing for the Niners. So it is what it is. And right now, Jennings looks like that poor guy that is sacrificing his body but not getting the reward on the field for whatever reasons. And he let it out with his coach. But as far as it being a distraction, Steiny, it's a nothing burger.
This is what Mark Schlereth said about the Juwan Jennings situation.
Receivers are like children. You know, a lot of them, not all of them, but most of them are like, the diva ones are like children. One, you're completely dependent. 10 other guys have to do their job exceptionally well for you to sniff a ball. And two, you guys whine and piss and moan if you're not fed. You're just like toddlers. And it's incredible. And like I've said this many times, if you're going to whine and piss and moan, what I would like to do is take you down to one-on-one offensive line versus defensive line and let some defensive tackles put you in a guard and let defensive tackles beat the living piss out of you so that you understand what everybody else has to do for you to sniff a football. It is the ultimate team sport. And that position, to me, is the ultimate dependent in that team sport. We're all dependent on one another doing our jobs, but there's no position that's more dependent on everybody else doing their job than wide receiver. And the fact that you guys don't understand that blows me away. It just absolutely befuddles me.
I got to be Mark honest, Schlereth. Donnie, I wasn't feeling that, and I don't know why I wasn't feeling that at the beginning. But then he brought it all the way home in regard to this is a team sport, what we do to get you the damn ball. But let's put it right on the table, brought to you by ATCO, because you didn't ask me. Does Juwan look selfish? Or if you had 5 broken ribs playing with a high, when other guys can't get out here for whatever reason, I'm just asking you, do you feel like he's selfish doing that? And they lost the game. Maybe some of that energy was that you threw it to me. Maybe we don't lose, but I'm asking you, does he look selfish?
I wouldn't go that far. It's kind of par for the course for receivers. So,
what is Kyle saying? Dude, you're so injured. That's why you ain't getting open.
Well, I don't know if he said it like that.
No, but is that what he's meaning? If you were open, Mac's going to throw it to you.
Hey, Sports Talk on 95.7, The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, do you think that's what Kyle was insinuating when he was like, dude, you know?
Maybe.
I had 5 broken ribs, man, or I came to work with a fever and you guys knew I was sick, but you just needed me here and you were doing other stuff. Stanley, I think I would explode a little sooner than normal.
I got to answer this text how I kind of would. From the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. Steiny said J.K. scored but didn't play winning basketball against Minnesota. But did Jimmy and Draymond play winning basketball? All they needed to do was get one game so Steph could get back on the court.
No, they did not.
Okay, you're right. But they've played winning basketball.
Okay, all right, wow.
And you're right, they didn't. But
you just diffused them there by admitting it. But they have.
Yeah. Anyway.
Draymond was the worst player in the series. Like, he never wants that smoke again with Randall. That was bad.
Worst player.
Pascal Siakam gave it to him in the 2019 finals. He was on a podcast. Me and Bonte talk about it all the time. You and I were there front row. He had nothing for Siakam.
Okay? We need a fourth guy.
Well, that's only two.
No, I got another one.
Boris Diaw.
Pascal Siakam.
Give me what I'm trying to do.
Julius Randle are the only guys that I can think of that Draymond has had trouble with in his career.
Anthony Davis? I seen him punk Anthony Davis.
Cat.
Now that's an interesting one.
Well, the last game they played, Cat absolutely dominated him.
Remember that, Stoddy? Cat was, hey, Evan, that was a Friday night. He was giving it to him.
When Cat was with the Knicks?
Yeah, he had like 35.
Remember that game came down to the wire and he couldn't miss?
I can't quite remember that.
That's a great call, Evan.
Yeah. You know what?
You can't say Jokic because he just kills everybody. But
yeah.
Not Shing. Aaron Gordon. No, he used to own Gordon.
Yeah, he did.
Gordon and went to the lab, though.
See, I think. Like Draymond I would love, like that's a question that I think he would love to answer.
And he would have one too. I'm trying to think.
I mean, like somebody saying Şengün, a little early for that.
Yeah, because he battled with Şengün and got him off his spot a few times. But that series went seven because of Şengün. But
He did.
One more guy. Evan might have it with Cat, man.
But I always seem to remember in the grand scheme of things, he kind of,
well, and
did fine.
I mean, it's got to be in recent years.
And it's like, also got to be
a few people got Draymond in his prime.
Right, no doubt.
Now, you're going to laugh, but I've seen Zubac do work against the Warriors.
You might be right.
You know, just
that's
a
so
bit.
Unfair, yeah. though. You know what I mean? Because that's unfair, but
he's got eight
it might be.
Think about all these names we're naming, though. They're all seven-footers because he's got to play center.
That's all. Evan, thank you, man. Keep it in perspective, man.
Yeah, that's why he can't do that this year.
The great Jim Barnett said Draymond Green might be one of the best defenders he's ever seen.
He actually said the best.
The best. Like, man, Stoney, I want him in my foxhole.
I wonder who that would be. I don't know. And, you know, don't ever forget that Jim Barnett played alongside Bill Russell. Bill Russell.
Who was the OG that went at Draymond? All he does is run his mouth. He don't do anything. They throw him the ball. He just throws
Oscar Robertson.
Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, hey, boy, you got.
Here's another one, Steven Adams.
Now that
seven, he's a behemoth.
Now, what about?
But he never.
The OKC.
He wasn't good enough offensively.
What about the OKC version of, God, Daddy, I'm getting, what's my boy's name?
Ibaka?
Ibaka, yeah. OKC version?
No.
Draymond went down screaming and kicking in that series.
Yes, he did, and almost getting arrested. All right.
Wow.
Coming up on the other side, we've got crossover time with Mark Willard and Dan Dibley. And that's always an entertaining 20-minute segment. We'll get into that. We'll talk to them.
Losing streak. Three in a row.
And I'm sure we'll hear all about it on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.